Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, today I would like to, as our final conference, talk about the power of prayer, especially the power of the Holy Rosary, and to talk about what some of the popes have said about the Rosary, and talk about why the Rosary is such a powerful prayer, as far as the meditating on sacred scriptures and the prayers themselves, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and then the virtues which we can develop through praying the Holy Rosary. And just end with some stories, some true stories about the miraculous power of prayer and the Holy Rosary. Before I begin, I noticed this beautiful banner here with the word peace on it. And the other Sunday I talked about five ways to obtain peace. And the P in peace stands for prayer. That's how we obtain peace, is prayer brings us into union with God. And then E would stand for the Eucharist. When we come before Eucharistic adoration, we can pray in the adoration chapels. For example, Holy Trinity, Our Lady of Angels, other Eucharistic adoration chapels. Or just go into any Catholic church with a tabernacle and sit before the Blessed Sacrament and you'll have peace. And then A stands for acceptance, to accept the will of God. Dante said, in His will is our peace. So to accept God's will, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. This stands for confession, going to confession. In the confessional, we hear the priest say, may God grant you pardon and peace. And then our sins are forgiven. And the E, I'm trying to remember what that stands for. It stands for extend. Extend and share peace with others, like the prayer of St. Francis. The more you give, the more you receive. If you want love, you give love. If you want peace, be an instrument of peace. So remember that prayer, the Eucharist, acceptance, confession, and extend peace to others. So one of the greatest ways to, I believe, to pray, one of the greatest ways to achieve peace in our hearts, peace in our families, and peace in the world is to pray the Holy Rosary. And I think it was Thomas Merton who said that people who are not at peace with themselves are not at peace with others, and they're not at peace with God. So we need to have first peace with God, peace with ourselves, and then peace with others. So all war, all terrorism is those that are not at peace with themselves. So the Rosary is one way to grow in that virtue of peace and that great gift of peace. So let me begin with what some of the popes have said about the Rosary. One day, Pope Pius IX was walking through the Vatican, showing some friends a tour of the Vatican. And they said to him, Holy Father, what is the greatest treasure in the Vatican? And they came upon the Pietà of Michelangelo, and they said, this must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican. And the Pope said, no. Then they go to the Sistine Chapel. And they said, surely this must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican. And Pope Pius IX said, no. And they said, well, what in the world is it? And the Pope pulled out his rosary. Said, this is the greatest treasure in the Vatican, the Holy Rosary. He said, the rosary is such a powerful weapon against evil. And he said, give me an army of souls praying the rosary daily, and we could conquer the world for Christ. Pope Leo XIII was called the Rosary Pope. He wrote 16 papal documents encouraging the rosary. He called it the remedy for all the evils of society and the root of all of our blessings. So what evils were they battling with? Things like atheistic communism or wars or other things. Today we have to battle the problems of abortion and all sorts of things, terrorism, many other attacks against the innocent. So we need the power of prayer, the power of the rosary. Leo XIII also said, among the many ways of praying, there is none more excellent than the rosary. St. Pius X said, if 1 million families prayed the daily rosary, he said, the world would be saved. Isn't that an amazing thought? If 1 million families prayed the family rosary. He said, love the rosary and pray it often. Of all the prayers, the rosary is the most beautiful and the richest in graces and most pleasing to Our Lady. Pope Benedict XV, who lived around the early part of the last century, prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. Pope Pius XI, whenever a couple would visit, a newly married couple, he would give out the rosary as a wedding gift to all the couples that visited the Vatican. St. Pius XII also prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. He said there is no surer means of calling down God's blessing on the family than the daily recitation of the rosary. Some of you remember Blessed John the 23rd. Remember him at the time of Vatican II? He's the one, when he was asked how many people work at the Vatican, he said, oh, about half of them. He said he had a great sense of humor. During his time as 5 years as Pope, he spoke out 38 times on the beauty of the rosary. He also prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. Again, the popes are far busier than we are, so we should at least say 5 decades every day. And people like the popes have said often 15 decades. John the 23rd said, the rosary is a school for learning true Christian perfection. And then after Vatican II, you had Paul VI. He said, pray the rosary daily for world peace. John Paul I, who was only pope for 33 days, also said, pray the rosary every day for peace. Then John Paul II, one of the great Marian popes of all time, people call him John Paul the Great now because he'll certainly be considered one of the 5 greatest popes of all time, along with Leo the Great and Gregory the Great and St. Pius V and St. Pius X. John Paul said, the rosary is my favorite prayer. And he gave out tens of thousands of rosaries. When the bishops would visit him for the ad limina visit every 5 years, they would talk about all the difficulties in their dioceses with vocations and other problems. And the Pope would always give them the rosary and would say, this will solve all your problems. And Pope Benedict XVI, he also said he promoted devotion to Our Lady and the Holy Rosary as well. So between 1402 and today, there have been over 500 papal pronouncements on the Holy Rosary, encouraging us to pray it. So now, why is the Rosary so powerful? It's because it is the prayer of the Gospel. It is the inspired Word of God that we're meditating upon. When we pray the Rosary, we're meditating upon the life of Christ and His Holy Mother. The great French writer Lacordaire said, the Rosary is the abridgment of the Gospels. I like to call it our New Testament cliff notes. Remember, you probably never used them in school, but some of us did use cliff notes. But cliff notes were not supposed to replace the book, right? You're still supposed to read the book, but then it's supposed to give you the most important themes and elements of the book. So that's why I like to say the Rosary is our New Testament cliff notes, because it gives us the time to meditate upon the most important events in the life of Christ and Our Lady. You can't always carry your Bible with you, but you can always carry your rosary, either in your pocket or in your purse. I also like to call it my pocket catechism, because the rosary is a catechism. It teaches us the faith with the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and it teaches us the truths of the Catholic faith. So when we look at why the rosary is so valuable and so powerful, we first look at the prayers themselves, the Apostles' Creed, and the Our Father. And of course, we start out with this part of the rosary, making the sign of the cross and saying the Apostles' Creed. I remember Bishop Sheen was once instructing, I think it was Claire Booth Luce, in the rosary, And after she prayed it for a couple of weeks, she came back and says, "Father, I know what to do with these, but what do I do with the tail?" And he says, "Well, you don't, it's not the tail. You start with the tail. You start with the Apostles' Creed, and then the prayers, three Our Father, three Hail Marys, one Our Father, three Hail Marys, and Glory Be." So the Our Father is such an important prayer because it is the perfect prayer. It was taught by Christ himself, so it has to be the prayer that is the most beautiful prayer ever given to us. In that prayer, there are seven petitions, so you can spend a whole lifetime meditating upon the beauty of the Our Father. In fact, Teresa of Avila once said, if you want to learn how to pray, say one Our Father, but take an hour to say it. So every 5 minutes, meditate upon another phrase. What does it mean? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the prayer is an exorcism prayer because it says, deliver us from evil. It's a prayer, it's an act of contrition. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against others. So it contains praise of God, adoration, petition. Everything we need is summarized in the Our Father. Forgiveness of our sins and asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. And then the prayer of exorcism, protect us or deliver us from all evil. Amen. And then we have the Hail Mary, the beautiful prayer, the Hail Mary, which we say in each decade 10 times. And when we do that, remember that the Hail Mary is really the prayer of the angels, because the angel Gabriel is the one who created the first part of the Hail Mary. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, is right from the lips of an archangel. So it's the prayer of the angels. Then the next part of the prayer comes from Elizabeth, her cousin. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. It's the greatest pro-life prayer, because the fruit of the womb is sacred. It is blessed. It's not a punishment, a burden, or a curse. It is a blessing. The fruit of the womb. That's how St. Dominic converted so many of the Albigensians and the anti-life people because of the Holy Rosary. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then the early church added, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I always like to think about that because we pray for grace now and at the hour of our death. The only two times we ever need God's help, right? For right now and at the hour of our death. And it's storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven and at the hour of our death. Every time we pray the rosary, 50 times we pray that prayer. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Because if you ever read Father Faber and other spiritual writers, they say that the devil really tries to get people on their deathbed to turn away from God. That's why it's important to wear the brown scapular and to call the priest for the anointing and for the last rites for Holy Communion. Because that's the devil's last chance to turn people away from God. But it's God's greatest victory of divine mercy to snatch souls out of hell right at the last moment and get them saved and get them converted and confession and communion and last rites. So you need to store for yourself lots of prayers for the hour of your death. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. The beautiful prayer, the Glory Be, which gives honor and glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So then, besides the prayers themselves, meditating upon the mysteries. And many of the writers have said that the rosary without meditation on the mysteries is like a body without a soul, right? It's dead. You have to meditate upon the mysteries, the Word of God. The rosary is powerful because we meditate upon the life of Christ, the gospel. We begin to interiorize the gospel. The rosary transforms people into the image and likeness of Christ because it's meditating upon the Word of God, who is Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God is meditated upon in the rosary, which transforms us to become more and more like Christ. So in the Rosary, we meditate upon things like the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, His agony in the garden, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And the more we know Scripture, the more we know Christ, as St. Jerome says. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Therefore, knowledge of Scripture is knowledge of Christ. And the Rosary is the Gospels. The Rosary is praying the Gospels. When we do that, it begins to transform us more and more to be like Jesus. And then third, the virtues. So you have the prayers, the mysteries, and then we pray for virtues, which are good habits. In each of the mysteries, we pray for a particular virtue. For example, the Annunciation, you can pray for humility. And of course, when you pray for humility, it's a dangerous thing, okay? Because it's one of the prayers that God will always answer. You know why? He'll humble you if you pray for humility. In the Visitation, we pray for love of neighbor. In the Agony in the Garden, we pray for sorrow for sin. Different mysteries, you can pray for things like the Resurrection, pray for greater faith. The Ascension, greater hope. Pentecost, greater love. So all 20 mysteries help us to grow in virtue and holiness. And this is important because, as some of the writers have said, when you sow a thought, you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. So thoughts grow into habits, which develops our character, which determines our destiny. And then, of course, the Rosary, I like to say it's the prayer of the lips, the prayer of the hand, the prayer of the mind, and the prayer of the heart. So it's the prayer of our lips because we're saying the vocal prayers, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, the Glory Be. But we don't want to give God lip service. That's what he condemned the scribes and Pharisees for. We don't want to fall into vain repetition. But the Rosary is not vain repetition. It is holy repetition. And that's very biblical because it says in the Bible that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed again and again. He kept praying, Father, take this chalice from me. He prayed that prayer three times. The Bible says in heaven, the angels are always saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. See, holy repetition is something good. So it's the prayer of our lips. So we don't want to give God lip service. That's why it's also the prayer of the mind, because we try to picture the scene like the Last Supper or the baptism of the Lord or the agony in the garden. You try to visualize and picture the scene. But it's also then the prayer of the hand because the beads slip through our fingers, which reduces stress. Isn't the church very wise? You know, that's why people are, when they do things like knitting and crocheting and juggling. Okay. See, these things reduce stress. Maybe not if you're sitting there right next to the machetes. But these things, when the beads slip through our fingers, the stress goes from out of our body through the fingers into the beads, right? So it's one of the best things you can give. And so Bishop Sheen always talked about that good Catholic psychiatrists and psychologists will recommend the praying of the Rosary for reducing stress. But then it's also the prayer of the heart. And we always have to pray with the heart, with our emotions, with our feelings. And one priest once said that a good idea is that in the joyful mysteries, you ask our Blessed Mother Mary, how did it feel? What was it like at the Annunciation or the Visitation or the Nativity or the finding in the temple? So Mary, what was it like? With the sorrowful mysteries and the luminous mysteries, we ask Jesus. Jesus, what was it like to be crowned with thorns? What was it like to be crucified, to carry the cross, to be scourged, to go through the bloody sweat in the garden? And what was it like to be baptized, have the Holy Spirit come down upon you, or to say the last, you know, the Last Supper? So you say, Lord, what was it like? How did it feel? Then for the glorious mysteries, it's the early church, early Christians. How did it feel to see Jesus raised from the dead or ascended to heaven or have the Holy Spirit come down upon you? So it takes 10 Hail Marys to get into that feeling. I know some very saintly women that up in Philadelphia, when they pray the rosary, the sorrowful mysteries, they cry. They weep because maybe it's because they're Italian. Maybe that's part of it. But they really enter into the scourging or the crowning with thorns. And it's very emotional if you really meditate upon that. So lastly, what I wanted to do is just share some true stories about the rosary. Some amazing stories. And you can look some of these up online and learn more about them. But you have 1571, the great Battle of Lepanto, where the Muslim Turks were coming up from Africa, about to invade and take over Europe. And Pope St. Pius V sent messengers to all of Christendom to pray the rosary. And he organized rosary rallies and rosary processions in the streets. And hundreds of thousands of people prayed the rosary for the safeguarding of Christendom and the Catholic faith in Europe. And during that battle, even though the Christian force was greatly outnumbered, the wind changed and some tremendous things happened so that the Christians were able to have a great victory, and it kept Europe Catholic. And again, read about that. And so he declared the feast day, October 7th, the feast day of the Holy Rosary or Lady of Victory. Then 1683, John Sobieski of Poland came to help Vienna, which was being sieged also by the Turks. And they had 250,000 Turks and 65,000 Christians came. But on the way, the men had gone to confession. They were wearing badges of the Sacred Heart. They were praying the rosary. And they were able to defeat this army of 250,000 with only 65,000 of them because of the power of prayer and the rosary. And that kept Austria Catholic and most of Europe as well. But even in more recent times, in March of 1964, the Archbishop of Rio de Janeiro asked for people to pray the rosary because the country was about to be taken over by atheistic communists. And they were able to get 600,000 people to gather and pray the rosary. And shortly thereafter, the atheistic communists up and left Brazil. And in Manila, some of you know the story of the bloodless revolution, of how through the power of the rosary, there was a peaceful overthrow and some tremendous things happened as well. So when you hear about these things, there's also some really neat stories, how one rosary changed the world and made the whole world a better place. Imagine that one man praying one rosary made the entire world a better place. In 1840, there was a young 19-year-old university student in Paris who had been born and raised Catholic, but he was questioning his faith. He was losing his faith, and he wasn't sure if he believed anymore. So he was going down the street in Paris, and he sort of stumbled into the back of a Catholic church, and he saw a man in the front row kneeling there just praying his rosary. And it turned out to be his scientific professor, Dr. André Ampère. You get the word amp and amplifier from Dr. Ampère. Well, this young student was so impressed and by how devoutly this man was praying his rosary that all his doubts about his faith vanished. And he reaffirmed his Catholic faith and he committed himself to Christ and the church. And the next year, he established the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And that was Blessed Frederick Ozanam. And the St. Vincent de Paul Society is in almost every country of the world, helping the poor and the needy, feeding and clothing millions of people because one man prayed one rosary that day. It was interesting that out of the St. Vincent de Paul Society came the Legion of Mary. And I think most of you are either active or auxiliary members of the Legion of Mary. And right now there's, 3 million active members and 12 million praying members throughout the world. Imagine that, that all the souls that have been brought back to the faith and into the church that came out of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which came from a young man who had his faith reaffirmed one day in Paris. So much depends upon that one rosary. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Legion of Mary, because my mom and dad met in the Legion of Mary. So I wouldn't be here. My mom and dad, of course, the priest who got my dad into the Legion had to try for 2 years to get my dad into the Legion of Mary. But he was my dad's spiritual director and confessor. So one day my dad went to confession and the priest said, "Bill, for your penance, join the Legion of Mary." I said, "Dad, what did you do? You've been in Legion now for 55 years. What did you confess that day?" So anyway, it was just more of a recommendation. But he met my mom in the Legion, and then my two sisters and I have been in since we were kids. But again, it does hinge back to that one rosary which changed the world and made it a better place. And then another great story was a man named Bartolo Longo. Also 1841, University of Naples. He was a college student that had gotten involved in the occult and Satanism. He was ordained a high priest in the Church of Satan. His brother Vincent prayed for him every day and prayed that his brother would be converted and prayed the rosary for him. And one day Bartolo was converted and he came back to the practice of his faith. But he never thought he could be saved because he had been a Satanist. But the Blessed Mother appeared to him and said, "If you promote the Holy Rosary, you will be saved." And he eventually established the church in Pompeii, the Shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii, Italy. He was beatified in 1980 by Pope John Paul II. So a former Satanist that is now a saint by the power of the Rosary. Look him up, Bartolo Longo. And I believe he might have been a Third Order Dominican, too. I'll have to double check that. But so there's always hope for your children, your grandchildren, when they leave the faith, your spouse, whoever. Pray for them. Your rosary is your net. Remember the apostles threw the net and they caught 153 fish? That's how many Hail Marys were in the original rosary, 153. So that's our net to catch souls, is the Holy Rosary. And so I encourage you to pray the rosary every day. As they say, a decade a day keeps the devil away. And of course, we're here in this Dominican retreat house. And St. Dominic, he converted 100,000 Albigensians by the preaching of the Holy Rosary. St. Francis de Sales converted 72,000 Calvinists back to the Catholic Church. He said he had two great weapons, his rosary and his pen, because he was a writer. He said next to the Mass, there is no prayer as powerful as the rosary. St. Clement Hofbauer, he said he could convert the most obstinate sinner by praying one rosary for them. Padre Pio called the rosary his mighty weapon, and he at least said 15 rosaries a day. And it helps when you can bilocate, because you can have them going on at the same time. Bishop Sheen said that if you teach a non-Catholic how to pray the rosary, and if they pray the rosary faithfully, they will come into the faith, or they'll have stopped praying the rosary. He says one of two things will happen. They'll either stop praying the rosary, or they will come to the fullness of the faith. Father Gobi, a very saintly priest, he once said that he believed that if one of the members of the family prays the rosary every day, the whole family would eventually obtain salvation. Eventually, it might be after the person's death, but the whole family would eventually be saved if one member prays the rosary every day. So I encourage you to do that for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, etc. Also pray for the souls in purgatory. St. John de Matthias prayed the rosary every day for souls to go from purgatory into heaven. At the end of his life, it was revealed to him by God that 1,300,000 souls entered heaven because of his daily rosary for the poor souls in purgatory. Pope Pius XII called the rosary our the sling against evil. He said, remember the story of David and Goliath? He said the rosary is our sling against the Goliaths, the evils of modern society, against, you know, nowadays terrorism, abortion, all the evils. So the rosary is our powerful weapon against evil. My own grandmother prayed the rosary. She was only had a sixth grade education, but she prayed about 10 rosaries a day. And she had gone deaf when she was a young woman. She was mostly blind by the end of her life, but she kept praying the rosary every single day. And I'm sure I wouldn't be a priest today if not from prayers of my grandmother. So I encourage you to keep praying. And the last story I'll share with you is also another true story. It occurred on a train from Dijon to Paris in the year 1891. And there was a young university student sitting opposite an elderly gentleman who was praying his rosary devoutly. And the young university student said, why don't you just throw that rosary out the train window? Don't you know that science has disproved existence of God and superstitions like the rosary? The old man just smiled and continued to pray. And then eventually, before the train came to a stop, the young man said, let me send you some science books so you could become enlightened and give up those silly superstitions. And so the old gentleman who had been praying the rosary gave him his business card. And the young man had the shock of his life. The card said, Dr. Louis Pasteur, Scientific Research, University of Paris. I have a feeling the young man never sent any of those books. And so I tell the kids in my parish, I say, I want you to go into your kitchen, open up the refrigerator, and look for the word pasteurized on the milk. And enjoy a glass of Catholic milk. Because of Dr. Louis Pasteur invented the purification process for milk. So the rosary is such a beautiful, prayer. And we should be faithful in praying it every day. Our Blessed Mother asks us at Fatima to pray the rosary every day for peace in the world. And we need peace more now than ever in our hearts, in our families, and throughout the world. And if you've not, let's say, signed up as an auxiliary member of the Legion of Mary, please do so. Just say the rosary every day and the Legion prayer card. So talk to your local Legion group, because there are about 12 million people that are auxiliary members right now. And when you say the rosary with them, you get the grace of 12 million other rosaries. It's like putting in a dollar with somebody that has $12 million in their bank account. Look at all the interest you get from not just your dollar, but the $12 million that are already in the bank. By the way, how many of you are auxiliary members of the Legion of Mary right now? Okay, raise your hand. Okay, how many active members? There you go. Active, very good. So I would just encourage you to consider active membership or auxiliary membership. My mom and dad have been in the Legion for over 55 years. My dad just turned 84 last week. He's an active member of the Legion. My mom will be 91 in August. And she's also still an active member, goes to her, they go to daily mass. She works, by the way, 6 days a week still in the Catholic shop. Even though the one in Virginia closed down, the one in Philadelphia is still going. Mom and dad work there, and then they still go to their weekly Legion meeting and their weekly assignment. So no matter how young or how old, we can still serve the Lord and our Blessed Mother. So I do encourage you to consider that. Consider Legion Mary active or auxiliary member. So God bless you all, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.